And we have on our schedule and House Bill 2645. And I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on it. I opened the public hearing on House Bill 2645, but it's my understanding that the sponsor of this bill wants to pull it today. They're working on this. I was waiting for to see if there's still people who want to hear it. They're working on this bill. They've had hearings on something very similar in the Senate, and their intent is to work there and try to get a product out. But we do have people signed up, so I guess we'll go ahead and let them speak.
Absolutely.
And we'll go from here. Al Elkins and Dee Bridges.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Tow Truck Association. We met with the Senate committee as well and talked about their bill. And our concern is in Section 2B under the mobile communication device. We use handheld radios on the highways. We use cell phones. And we also use VHF units in our trucks that are mounted in our trucks for communication. And we use them on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. Under Section 3A, you have an exemption for an emergency vehicle. We are not considered, tow trucks are not considered emergency vehicles. And we are asking for, in the Senate as well as here, some type of exemption that would allow for commercial use or day-to-day commercial use or something of that nature to allow us to continue doing our business. Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you.
Okay. Dee Bridges, here today for the Oregon Trucking Association, the Oregon Log Truck Association. I guess I could probably sit here and say ditto, because our concerns are exactly the same as Al's.
Any questions? Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
What does ditto mean?
Are you surprised that I would have a question?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I guess one of the requests and petitions today, as a result of the very eloquent testimony of yourself, Mr. Bridges, and that of Al Elkins, would be that 3A, those persons that, to which this law doesn't apply, would be ambulance, emergency vehicle, tow truck, and commercial trucking operators? Would that cover?
No, that would do it.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, you may. Follow up.
I'd just like to ask both of these folks, when we talk about emergency vehicles, I'm assuming we're talking about police. When we talk about ambulance, we know what we're talking about. Do tow truck operators or commercial trucking operators receive any special kinds of courses on how to pick up a microphone and speak into it, clicking the button at the same time that they're driving and taking care of their other issues?
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, we offer training courses throughout the year for tow truck operators, and that's one of the things that they do work with them on, is how to talk with the handheld mic and drive and maintain vehicle security at the same time with a load on. So, yes, it is something that we do go over in our coursework.
Commercial truckers?
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, I would say the same thing, too. We are required to have, and I'll talk about our fleet operators, which represents the majority of our truckers, required to have regular safety meetings. I'm not offhand. I can't tell you how often those occur. Safety has always been almost our primary, secondary concern right after making money, staying in business. We put a high level of importance on safety, because that also is part of making money. And while I can't have any personal knowledge of what you ask, I can't imagine that hasn't come up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say for the record that I am that I know a number of ambulance drivers, many of them volunteer, that go past the necessary commercial driver's license to handle that volunteer responsibility, and none of them are trained on how to pick up a cell phone and talk on the cell phone, or to pick up the microphone and click the button and respond to an emergency call as they're driving. And so I'm really concerned about this, that what we're really saying is that just because you've got a vehicle with lights that go around and maybe make funny sounds, that somehow that vehicle is being chauffeured and driven by someone who has a specialized knowledge of how to do those kinds of things. But I recognize also that we're not going to get into encumbered driving and reckless and careless driving, which are already on the statutes in abundance. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay. No other questions? All right. Jeff Leiding. Okay. Amy Joyce.
Thank you, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation, Highway Division. I have similar things to say to the previous two witnesses. Our maintenance staff typically is out on the highways, you know, a one-person operation in a vehicle with no person in the adjacent seat to operate a two-way radio. And all those vehicles either have an installed two-way type radio or sometimes have a handheld two-way type radio that is like a walkie-talkie. We use those for receiving information from a dispatch center about where to go to perform maintenance operations, to do safety checks when folks are out in the more remote areas of the state, so they can check in with dispatch, let them know everything's fine, report back road conditions, you know, snow level, accidents, anything else going on with the roads. So we use those in the course of our operations for safety and for conducting the business of ODOT. We also do things like coordinated snow plowing. You'll have several snow plows going down the highway in unison. You need to be in constant contact to make sure that's being done safely and that you're adjusting to conditions. So the use of two-way radios are really critical to maintenance operations for ODOT. And so we are asking, as we did on the Senate side when the bill came up, for an exemption for public maintenance vehicles and the operation of their official duties. And I would also make the point that the use of two-way radios in our maintenance operations is really a qualitatively different kind of action than carrying on a conversation on a cell phone with a friend or a loved one. They are by nature extremely brief communications. I wouldn't even really call them conversations. Getting a dispatch, reporting back in that you're safe, to the point that our folks will even talk in something of a code, reporting back to dispatch a series of numbers can give dispatch information on road conditions and such. So these are extremely brief communications. It's all in the course of what's going on for our business operation, and the communication is over. So we would ask for that exemption again, as we did when we testified on the identical Senate bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Amy, if I understand the petition of your prayer today, and that is that ODOT vehicles and the official conduct of their duties be added to a person operating an ambulance, emergency vehicle, tow truck, commercial trucking, as long as they are not carrying on a conversation with a friend or a loved one.
I would say in the operation of our official duties, I would assume that's not in the having a conversation with a loved one. Yes, Representative Butler and Chair Beyer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And, Madam Chair, just to follow up, same question. Are your people trained? Is there a special course that they go to, how to pick up the mic and push the button as they're taking care of that, answering a call, and then responding to whatever the nature of the inquiry is? Again, as long as it's not carrying on a conversation with a friend or a loved one, just to take care of the business and then hang it back up. Is there a special course for that as they're driving?
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, as you asked the other witnesses that question, I thought, gosh, I wish I knew the answer to that question as far as ODOT goes. Almost all, or I believe all ODOT personnel go through a defensive driving course That does not cover the type of thing you're talking about, but I will obtain that information about whether our maintenance crew go through that kind of specific training. I'll find that out for you.
But just to follow up, if I may, they are using cell phones in addition, so it wouldn't be just the two-way communication with a clicker. It would also be a cell phone to report back.
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, I'm not talking about cell phones. I'm talking about the two-way radios.
The two-way
We're not
radio.
Asking for any kind of exemption for a cell phone or similar
okay.
type of device.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sandy Flicker.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I bet you can't guess why I'm here today. I'm Sandy Flicker, representing the Oregon Rural Electric Cooperative Association, and I do believe I'm here speaking also on behalf of the other electricity suppliers in the state for the very same reason that the former witnesses were before you. We also use two-way radios in the process of going out, our line crews going out and finding problems with lines. And as you know, particularly for electric co-ops, we cover great distances, and so it is very important to have those communications available to us. We also use, I believe we also use cell phones where we have service, and that's probably not a lot of places where they go. But I know we do use the two-way radios, and we do have hold FCC licenses. And even though I can't specifically address Representative Butler's question about training, my assumption is that, yes, in the extensive training that they receive, that is, I'm sure, part of their training. But I, too, will find that out. For sure, but we are also asking for an exemption from this because it does create a problem for us in trying to carry out our line of business. So we would appreciate being included along with all those other folks in the long list of exemptions from the cell phone bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just so for the record, I'm just trying to identify what this looks like. This would be the sixth exemption. That would be utility company vehicles in the performance, or while they are in the performance of their regular duties.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all I have signed up, but I've seen more people come in. So if they want to just come forward and...
I'm sure. I just wondered if maybe I could sign up on behalf of the accountants in Oregon. We could be number 9 or 10 on this list here.
No calculators while driving.
An emergency 1040X or something like that.
Our members of the committee, Jenna Ingram speaking on behalf of the Oregon Fire District Directors Association. My legislative committee has asked me, I'm sorry, the legislative committee of the Joint Fire Legislative Committee has asked me to just acknowledge the fact that, yes, there is an exemption already for public safety officials, but I believe the bill indicates that they have to be in a public safety vehicle, and sometimes they don't always respond in a public safety vehicle. So I hope Representative Butler has his pencil sharpened, because we are asking for an exemption for those investigators, volunteer firefighters, et cetera, who may respond in an unmarked vehicle, even though they are public safety officers.
If I may, Madam Chair, thank you very much. What is a public safety officer when it is relating to a fire district employee investigator?
I'm sorry, Chair Beyer.
Clarification, if I may. Generally, you finished that up by saying that you would seek an exemption for Oregon Fire District employees and their investigators and public safety.
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, we are just looking for an exemption for those public safety officers who, or those in the line of public safety, who respond in an unmarked vehicle, such as at times an investigator may respond in an unmarked vehicle, or a volunteer firefighter on the way to, his or her way to a fire, often most of the time uses his or her own vehicle and may need to communicate in order to locate the incident.
If I may, then so we also then have volunteers as well as paid firefighters that may be responding in their own vehicles. How are they normally called out, Jenna? Is it, are they on a pager, a beeper, a cell phone? Share that with us if you would.
Chair by Representative Butler, actually most of 80% of the firefighters in Oregon are volunteers, and most of the time, as far as I'm aware, there are pagers or beepers that alert them, although some districts, I'm told, use telephones.
Madam Chair, I just have one question in that regard. Why would they need to use a cell phone if they were responding to a fire under a pager or a beeper call? Why would they have to have a cell phone at that point?
Chair, Fire Representative Butler, the individual responding to a fire may not be able to locate the address and may need to call back to dispatch and get clarification as to the location of the incident.
Thank you,
Chair.
Anybody else?
The farmers and ranchers. I knew they'd have to come to the table.
Darn it.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm here to not request an exemption.
Identify yourself.
Yeah. Oh, now you're getting technical. Don Schellenberg, representing Oregon Farm Bureau. In fact, we don't have an official position on the bill. I have a question, if someone could answer. Does this bill allow... the earphone thing where you wouldn't be using your hands to operate a cell phone or some kind of device like that?
It has a mobile communication device. It does not specify whether it's hands off or hands on.
Okay. And I would just reflect a concern that I did have a call from one nurseryman who expressed concern. They do a lot of deliveries back and forth. They're in the vehicle a lot during the day. That's how they make their living, taking orders, delivering orders, and that kind of thing. And just the person expressed their concern about this bill, so I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments from the... Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Marianne Guest, representing Oregon School Employees Association. And in looking at this bill, I would ask the committee to think about a bus driver who actually has a very good safety record, but the bill says that creates the crime of or the offense if they're distracted and interacting with something unsecured cargo. I'm thinking of the 80 children behind them, that it could, you know, there is distractions. They do happen, and it may be paramount for the health and safety of everyone in the bus if this bus driver is talking to a child to sit down or whatever. So I just, maybe this, you know, we just have to look at the wording, and I don't want our bus drivers getting a ticket for telling a child to sit down, being distracted by a child in the back. Cell phones are actually, the Oregon Department of Education has administrative rules on the use of cell phones, and the only time that they can be used is in an emergency for our bus drivers. So I just want to share that with the committee. Thank you.
Representative Butler.
Did I catch it right? You're referring to our kids as unsecured cargo?
You know what? I do believe that's what they are not secured in the seat. And they could be unsecured cargo. You are right, Representative Buckley. Sorry. It's pretty amazing. But, you know, I would hope that the police would keep that in mind. But then again, you pass a law and you don't have this discussion and problems can occur. And we'd just like to avoid those problems.
Thank you.
While keeping our kids safe.
Any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I must need a question.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So, Marianne, if I understand correctly, presently bus drivers can use cell phones if they have some kind of an emergency that they need to respond to, but they are not an ambulance or other emergency vehicle. So we need to include bus drivers while they're... correcting the behavior of a child, as well as communicating an emergency situation?
Yes, yes, Madam Chair, Representative Butler. I actually have a copy of the rules that the Department of Education has adopted, and I can leave them with the committee. And it allows for cell phone use in an emergency, which is described as calling 911, a hospital or emergency room, a physician office or health clinic, an ambulance or fire department, a police department. So those are the allowance.
Well, thank you. Follow-up, if I may, Madam Chair. So you'll provide that to the committee
yes.
administrator, and then we'll have that for the public record. And then in addition, Marianne, any training of a bus driver as to how to use a cell phone? Does they give training for that?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I'm not – what they train on is the radios in the buses. I'm not sure if they train for cell phone use. I know that they just have rules, so I'm not certain, but I could find out.
Madam Chair, I'm concerned now about the radio and the buses. That creates a whole additional communication device, mobile communication device, that we have here. So can you maybe help us with that? They're trained how to use the radio, the mobile communication device that they have, but does it then include any training how to use that while they're in transit?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, again, I'd have to check with the Department of Education and find out what type of training is involved in that and what is allowable use. I know that they can't be talking on it while they're driving. I mean, it's generally unacceptable. But if there are certain situations for that, it may be similar to this. But I can check and get that information to the committee.
Madam Chair, I just say this. I'm sorry to belabor this point, but as I've come and gone to airports in the hut and the other kinds of transport that are available for multiple passengers, I've seen those folks before with the little mobile radio device up there when they're called on to go ahead and push the button and or maybe even a handheld device to let them know, yes, I'm at milepost 275, and it's clogged up here, and yeah, Butler's going to miss his airplane again. So anyway, I'm wondering now if that doesn't bring a whole additional carrying passengers for hire, a group of folks that need to communicate back and forth as to the safety, the well-being, and the position of that group of folks that they're transporting for hire. So just, and if, I don't know, if you were to tell me, Marianne, if I may, Madam Chair, if you were to tell me, Marianne, that there's extensive training on how to use this system, I would want to know that extensive training, if we're going to exempt those folks from this bill or other bills that are being considered, that I'd want to know that what your training included was that as they're driving down the road, they have a trainer sitting behind them and saying, now you're coming to a crosswalk and a stop and three other kinds of obstacles with kids getting on and getting off. Now you've got a call on this mobile communication device. How are you going to respond to it? And then having them actually demonstrate that they can multitask. If I may, Madam Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The one thing I miss the very most is the ability to multitask now that I've grown up. Two people can walk at the same time.
I can't believe that you're missing that quality right now.
Thank you, Representative
Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Guest, I'm wondering if in the bill, lines 14, down to 8 and 19, so the does not apply to if a person summoning medical or emergency help. So would that apply then? Wouldn't that satisfy that requirement that they would be able to use the communication device if they were calling for emergency help?
Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, I think that would cover it, yes.
And that's already in the bill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think. I'm wondering about if a doctor, I mean, it could be. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
if I could, it doesn't appear to respond, however, to the correction of a child who is out.
Oh, no.
Right. But it was just calling for emergency help.
Right.
All right. Seeing no other questions, thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Larry Campbell. First of all, I'd like to represent General Motors, who is deeply concerned about any legislation that may put OnStar out of business as far as emergency services and so forth, the availability of use for directions when you're driving. Secondly, Larry Campbell, representing Oregon Loggers, we have a similar problem to a number of the others that have talked about exemptions. We're not sure that an exemption is important, but we do think it's extremely important as you consider this kind of legislation that you take into consideration the disadvantages that you're applying to all of the various activities of driving vehicles that have particular communication problems. Asking for individual exclusions probably isn't the necessary answer. The necessary answer is finding those people who have to have the communications for safety purposes and others, and basically making sure that the bill is written in a way that excludes those kind of folks. Then Larry Campbell is AAA. We have a number of states in the United States where AAA represents a substantial number of clients, and that presently have distraction laws. Again, I would ask that you look very careful at how you define distraction in a motor vehicle. I think the Oregonian did it very well when they indicated that it would probably be wise if we had more law enforcement. The fact that you pass additional laws indicating that you have concerns about people driving doesn't solve the problem. What really solves the problem is the ability to enforce laws that you presently have on the books. Then Larry Campbell, representing the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police, let me say that there are a number of laws today, and it would be well worth your while to talk to some of the law enforcement officers who basically law enforcement is taking a neutral position on these kinds of bills, but it would be very worthwhile for you to talk to some of your law enforcement contacts and identify specifically what you'd be doing for or to them by passing this kind of legislation. The biggest concern that I have, and this is Larry Campbell representing myself personally, is my wife can be a distraction when I'm driving. I'll be glad to respond to any questions you might have.
Madam Chair, how do we know which of his personalities to address the question?
I know.
Stumped.
But don't touch the one about his wife. Whatever. She's not number 8 on my list.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, seeing no other people, I am going to go ahead and close the public hearing on this bill, and we'll wait and see whether the Senate sends us something or not. And thank you. Close the public hearing.